Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there. This is Bill Moss, your host. We're here with you tonight live. We've got boots on the ground up in Oregon. We're going to be talking about the West Coast fires tonight. This is American Patriots Have Responded. We are part of Citizens Against Terrorism at citizensagainstterrorism.org. Tonight's show is brought to us by Jeff's Sporting Goods in Pittsburgh, Kentucky, just about a mile north of London on Laurel Road. Jeff has trailer accessories, archery supplies, guns and ammo, fishing, tackle, etc. Jeff's a good guy. You need to give him a call if you're in the area or if you want to try to get him from other places. His number is 606-877-2442. Thank you. Now, while we're starting out, we're going to start right out with our boots on the ground. We've got somebody in Oregon that's been up here helping people out. He's one of our people, and his name is Billy Bob. That's what we call him. We do not give out the names of our people. So, Billy Bob, I'm asking you to come in now and just give your story about what's going on and let everybody know what you've been doing. Are you there, Billy Bob? Hello?
Where's Billy Bob?
Hello, Billy Bob. Billy Bob, are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Again, I'm here?
Yeah.
All right, you can hear me now, correct? Cool.
Yes, sir. Could you tell everybody what you've been doing, what's going on?
So my group, personally, we've just been out trying to take care of people, evacing. There's a lot of evacuation going on right now. I want to put it out there that there's been a lot of speculation about, you know, BLM, Antifa started fires and all that. I've personally fought a lot of fire back in my day. I have to say most of this is natural caused. There has been a little bit of arson fire, but there's big speculation on where that arson fire is coming from. I don't like to be that guy pointing fingers, so I'd like nobody else to be pointing fingers until it's been properly assessed. But there has been some arson out in our valleys. That being said, the entire Western Hemisphere is on fire right now. From middle Washington all the way down to Southern California, and it really sucks. There's a lot of displaced individuals. So I know they just talked on the news about help coming in from different places nationally. Sorry, I'm into multitasking at the moment. I'm getting ready for a flag drive. If you got questions for me, you're welcome to answer because my head's going 9 miles different directions all at once.
Okay, when I talked to you last night, you said something about this. I asked you about, you know, were there cities burnt, you know. You said something about the smaller cities. Could you elaborate on that?
Oh, yeah, we've had many of our small towns up in the Cascade foothills just absolutely burnt to the ground. The national news has started taking notice of that. You know, Southern Oregon, I think they said they've lost 600 or 700 homes in Talent, Phoenix, Medford area. I know here local to me in the Willamette Valley, we've probably lost, from the South Valley to the North Valley, I bet we've probably lost 400 or 500 homes total, at least, minimum. There's a lot of finger canyons that go up into the Cascade foothills, and we had a wind event that's probably a 100-year event that came through on Monday night and caught everybody off guard. And when it caught fire to power poles and that sort of thing, it just ripped westerly down through the canyons. And nobody had time to really get prepared for it. All they could do was cut and run. So there's a lot of devastation and a lot of loss.
A lot of people suffering, in other words, losing their homes, losing their lives, losing their pets. I know we had a call the other night. Somebody lost their pets in a house fire. They couldn't get them out. They had to get their stuff out. So
yeah,
I know
a lot
that's,
of animals
that's got to be
a lot
devastating. Well, I just want to say, Bob, we're proud of you for being out there, for doing your thing, you and your crew. And, you know,
I
don't want to tie you up too long.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the political side of things right now. You know, anybody that's an American citizen needs to be watching out for every other American citizen. And, you know, right now it's sad to say, with people already boot to ground, you know, we've got looting trying to go on. You know, they've already caught some looters, and it's sad that people have to be out there being that kind of an individual. But, you know, if you're an American and you see anything out of the norm, you know your neighbors, you know who belongs in the area, you know who doesn't belong in the area. If you see somebody that doesn't look like they belong, call them in. Get a license plate, call their ass in. And then
we need to do that. It's important. That's extremely important. If you see something, say something, right?
Exactly. You know, get it reported, get somebody on it. That way they know.
Right.
And there'll be,
well, sir,
there'll
I thank
be follow-up.
You. Go ahead.
I just saying, if you get a license plate and you call it in, there'll be follow-up to those reports, and they can glue things together. They're good at that.
Roger that. Well, sir, I know you're busy. We don't want to take you away from what you're doing, because you're doing a very important job. But I thank you for calling in and letting us have a up-to-the-minute, on-the-ground update. So you be safe out there. If you need anything, you know how to get a hold of me. And
right,
God
you
bless you, brother. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye. Well, we just heard from Billy Bob, one of our team members that's in Oregon at this time. I want to bring into the show, I want to bring in our guest host, Deborah Morth. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I didn't get to say goodbye to Billy Bob, and that's a hero right there. He's in the know. I appreciated hearing what he had to say.
Well, I'm sure we'll be in touch with him as soon as he gets his hands where he can get a minute to breathe, literally breathe up there. You're down in an area farther away from that, and you're still having a lot of smoke and stuff in your area. And tell us what it's like just where you are.
Well, I'll just preempt quickly. I was in the October 24th. California wildfires, Southern California. My home almost burned to the ground, and golf ball size members were shooting at us, and we had to wet down the property for 12 hours. So we almost lost our home in the Tick Canyon fire. Right now, my hometown, where I was raised, Arcadia, is on fire, the Bobcat fire. It's doubled in velocity, 27,000 acres in one day up there at the Wilson Observatory, where all those famous telescopes are. So that's my news, and it is very smoky even where I'm at, because it's the other side of the San Gabriel Mountains. Yes, bad news.
Well, we've got Bill and Bob said that they haven't exactly been able to pin this on either a left wing or a right wing group right now, but there are some arson fires involved in this, and we know that because there's been arrests made. And I think it's important that we bring out some of these people, make them famous for what they do, so that if you know this person, you know not to trust them anymore. You know what kind of person they might be, or at least I'm not going to say don't trust them, but at this moment be wary, because they are allegedly accused and arrested for setting fires in these areas. People are losing their lives. And if this is something to do with either a left or a right-wing group, shame on them. I mean, you know, I wouldn't hold up a left-wing group or a right-wing group for doing something like this, because the last thing we knew, there was, 15 people dead and another 15 missing. And, we'll get to that here in a little bit. But the first one I want to bring into talk about is last Monday, several fires were set in the Monterey, California area. According to KION News, and there was a 37-year-old Anita Esquivel. She was arrested for allegedly setting fires in that area. Okay. Now, if you go on the internet and take a look at this person, I'm not saying she is, but I'm telling you, if you look at her, you've seen her, Deborah. If you look at this woman, she looks exactly like the people we've been meeting in the streets that's been rioting and tearing up the neighborhoods. Now, am I right?
Well, yeah, I've been on command post and watching streaming all day and all night for the teams. And your team, the headquarters there in Kentucky, she fits the profile for what I've been seeing that is very riot-like, very destructive, very intimidating, and these groups have done a lot of damage and committed a lot of crime and hurt a lot of people. Yes.
Well, these people we're running up against, as you know what, running the command post, they're not people that look like they're the most, how would I say, approachable people. I mean, they've got a wild look to them, don't they? Especially the ones that are, you know, doing the worst things. And I hope Billy Bob's right. I'm hoping that what's going on here, I'm hoping it's not got to do with anything like this. And we've seen a lot of push and pull on this. We've seen the news, you know, saying, oh, it's got nothing to do with it. The police saying it's got nothing to do with it. But then when we went on the Law Enforcement Today network, they had the same things going down the top. But when we get to the bottom, they also say that the federal government is looking into a possible connection of these fires. Am I right? I mean,
yeah,
we saw that.
I've got to remind our, you know, everyone what we've been hearing for what, Bill, 4 months? No justice, no peace. Our country doesn't give us what we want. We will burn the system down and replace it. I don't know if the mainstream is letting people know. I don't think so, but the country has been burning down. Statues, monuments,
well, you know,
homes, people. Yes.
There was a Black Lives Matter supporter came on to Martha McCollum's show on Fox News a couple of weeks ago, and she was just plumb awestruck because this guy sat right there on the national television and said, we're going to burn the system down. That's what he said. And we've heard him say on these live feeds that we've been watching on the command central where you're at, we have heard them say that they was going to burn every precinct and every city and every town across the country. Now, people think, oh, well, it's not going to happen here. Well, if you've got a police station, if you've got a police precinct, if you've got a sheriff's office, then you better be alert because this thing is spreading. Now, this might not have to do with that, but at the same time, it might. And the federal law enforcement officer was talking to the people at the law enforcement page that we was talking about just a minute. Law enforcement, I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, he told them that they were looking into this connection. So let's hope that it's not got anything to do with it. But now I'm going to go on to the next person we want to make famous tonight. Is a lady by the name, a 36-year-old woman by the name of Christine Camello. She was arrested for allegedly setting a fire outside a commercial building by igniting a pallet and grass outside that building. Two blocks away, they found another fire set. It was set near an oil drum that was set under a tree. They said if that oil drum had exploded, it could have made a much, much larger fire, and other fires have been set in that area as well. So there were multiple fires they said were set, that these were not natural things. On Tuesday, Polly up Washington, a man was arrested for allegedly setting a fire to brush near the highway. Also on Tuesday, there was an Elias Newton Pendergrass who was arrested and charged with arson for allegedly setting fire to the Sweet Creek area in Eugene and the Dexter recreational area. Now, like I say, while the state police and the local police say there's no connection to the fires, the mainstream media, you know, automatically parrots whatever they say, I'm not so ready to accept these words, and I'm not ready to point my finger either. I'm trying to stay out and listen and see what we're seeing. You know, people have to be aware these things are important. They are dangerous. If you've never been in a forest fire, these guys in these forest fires, these guys that are out there trying to put them out, the wind can change immediately. Next thing you know, you're overrun with fire. I have been in the forest fighting fire before. It's a deadly, deadly fire. It's much more deadly than trying to fight a fire in a dwelling or a building. It is 10 times dangerous because you've got all these trees that are burning. You've got limbs that can fall down and hit you. You've got trees that can fall over and hit you. You've got not only all that, you've got to worry about the wind. You've got to worry about getting trapped. You have to have solar blankets so that if the fire comes at you, you can cover up. Sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't. If you run out of oxygen, the only air you can get is by sticking the hose from your SCBA, your air pack, into the turnout jacket and breathe your own sweaty air out of that turnout jacket. It's not a pleasant thing, but at least you can breathe for a while. But, I mean, these are dangerous times, and we've seen a lot of people dying already. And if somebody's responsible for this, then they need to be totally, totally held accountable for this. I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay, why set a fire, this last Pendergrass that set it at the recreational area? I believe that's where the one-year-old child died, if I remember right, in this fire. You know, his family was out for a day, and next thing you know, their child's dead because of these fires. Now, the one thing that struck me on what the federal law person that was talking to the law enforcement today said was they also warned there could be more attacks. Okay? This was concerns me, attacks. Why didn't they say there would be more fires? You know, there might be also more fires. When they use the word attack, I mean, that kind of sticks with me a little bit. It's a strong word to use if you know it's not coordinated. They could have said possible attacks. You know, they could have said something like that. But, I mean, to say, you know, coordinated attacks, and that's a quote. I mean, that's not something I'm just coming up with. But, you know, now, if this is a coordinated attack, we're in a sad shape in this world because we've been warning people that this could happen. Okay, there's not only just fires burning on the West Coast, there's fires burning in other areas. You was naming some of them to me today. Do you remember how many different states was involved?
You know what, we've got, I think, Alaska, Idaho, Nevada, Arizona. I mean, I had 12 states. At least involved with the three that are really taken off. I have to say, Bill, this 3.1 million acres have burned in California alone. This is 26 times more fire and more acreage than burned in 2019, which was a huge fire year. Everything was lighting up like a 4th of July. So, and then, by the way, 500,000 evacuation orders were in place in Oregon. 40,000 Oregonians are evacuated right now. This is huge. This is 29 California fires are burning right now. 24 new fires yesterday were put out. Now, if you got to tell me that this is an anomaly, I don't know. You explain it, Bill. I don't know. This is crazy to me.
Well, I can understand, you know, some of the fires that are burning could be possibly connected. But one of the things is I pulled off stats. I pulled off facts and statistics on wildfires. And this was something that was put out by the Forestry Service, okay? And in the Forestry Service, they say that 90% of the fires that are set, that we have, the forest fires that we set, 90% of them are caused either by accident, a campfire getting out of place, maybe a a lawnmower throwing a spark or something like that, or somebody flipping a cigarette out the window, which is always a bad idea when it's a dry area, any area really. And you know, it said that 90% of the fires were either that or arson, okay? And if it's arson, then people that commit that can be charged with murder. What are they thinking if they're setting them? I mean, we named off some people here that got arrested, that allegedly done this. If they have, these people can be charged with murders in the areas where these people have died if they set fires in that area. If this has to do with the riots and the protests, they call them peaceful protests. We've been in the street or anything but that. Okay, not just my group, but other groups. We've all been, different ones of us have been out there. And they're anything but peaceful. I mean, when you go on the street to try to help the police, protect the buildings, protect the lives of the citizens, protect the homes and the businesses, the statues, the monuments and the cemeteries and the churches and the schools and the libraries, when you go into the street and what you meet are people slinging feces and urine, and they're shooting you in the face with wall spray, they're shooting you in the face with bear spray, pepper gas, CS gas, mace, and all this other stuff, and at the same time they're wanting to defund and get rid of the police. They don't want any police at all. They don't want any law enforcement. I mean, my gosh, you can get locked up in New York City, and it takes more time to fill out your citation than it does for you to stay there. They run you in, they run you out, and you're back on the street, in a matter of just an hour or two. You can go in and out. We saw at one point there were some people in New York that got arrested and released seven times in a 24-hour period. We've got a problem in this country. Whether these fires are set or not, we've still got a problem in this country, because we know there's a lot of arson going on in these towns where they're rioting. We've seen it. We've watched them do it. We have watched them do it. And you can see them wearing their BLM shirts. You can see them wearing their Antifa shirts. So I'm not saying these are, but I'm saying there's a possibility, and evidently by what the federal law enforcement person that spoke with that particular publication was hinting at was, hey, there might be a connection here. And there might be. There might be. Now, Billy Bob tells us that, some of them are natural. Well, yeah, they can be natural. They can be caused by a lot of things. But to say that this is not it without a proper investigation, I think that's a bad thing to do. And, some of the news agencies are leaning that way, and they're claiming, oh, this is just the right-wing conservatives blaming the left wing, or they're saying the left wing's blaming the right wing and things like that. But we need to get to the bottom of it. The law enforcement needs to get to the bottom of it. And like Billy Bob said, anybody, if you see something, say something. If you see somebody lighting something up, my God, pick up the phone, call the police, call the fire department, get them out there, because these are people's lives that are in danger, their homes, their businesses. Like Billy Bob was saying, towns have burnt, and we can't just keep losing. And it's time that we stand up as Americans and go out and try to figure this out and try to do something about it. I was looking at those statistics, and one of the things that really amazed me was, it didn't amaze me because I know why, but one of the amazing things is California is the worst state in the country for having forestry fires. And one of the reasons is poor forestry management. Now, I know some people will disagree with me, but let me say something before you do. I've been a certified logger. I know about forestry management. I've been a firefighter. I know about forest fires. I've fought them. And the whole thing is if you don't manage your forest, if you don't cut down your underbrush, if you don't keep your forest around the roadways from having dry kindling type situations with brush and dead wood, you're asking for a calamity. And once it starts, you can't hardly stop it. you know, where I thought far at, we did not have these big planes come in and fly over because our forestry was managed and we was able to do it without them. We were able to contain the fires. I mean, a big forest fire for us was if we lost a couple thousand acres, and that was a big one. But at the same time, when you've got this type of mismanagement in the forestry I'm talking about, that becomes a problem. Now, we've heard a lot on the news about it. We've heard, you know, fingers pointing back and forth between different groups and things like that. And it's kind of sad we got that, okay? I'd like to get to the bottom of it. I'd like to know the truth about it. I'd like to know, you know, exactly what happened. And I pray law enforcement does figure this out. I pray the fire investigators figure it out. And I pray that if anybody's responsible for setting a fire, I pray they're caught. Okay? Now, I was just in the other room before the show came on, before I got in my office. I was in the other room, and Tucker Carlson was on. And he was talking on his show about what's being said about climate, okay? We're talking about climate, okay? I want to say and you actually found this, that the U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi commented that Mother Earth is angry. We are in a climate crisis, and that proves it. Did she not?
Oh yeah, she sure did. Boy, where's her proof? That's the most insane comment I think I've heard from her yet since she got sick on her ice cream and had her hair done.
Well, I don't pick sides on this show, but if somebody does something, I'm gonna call them out, okay? And
yes,
all I can say is what a piece of work. What a piece of work. 15 lives lost, 15 more people missing, her state's burning, and she's trying to score some cheap political points out of this. Now, Gavin Newsom, the governor, Gavin Newsom of California, and his Aunt Nancy don't accept the fact that the state's poor forestry management plays a role in the high fire rate. If you don't manage your forest, if you don't keep the deadwood out, if you don't keep the brush out, you're going to have these problems.
Well, I remember up to 15 years ago, we'd see backfires. We'd be fearful, and they're cleaning up our mountains, and then making sure we don't have one of these events.
We don't
see it anymore, Bill.
We've got everybody denying these fires are set, any of them. Oh, no, they're not set. This is all climate change. You know, and to me, it's the same agenda that we keep hearing. You know, California wants a Green New Deal, okay? Nancy wants a Green New Deal. New York wants a Green New Deal. But they're not thinking about the cost to the people. They're not thinking about what they're doing now that they could do to stop this. You see what I'm saying?
You know what he said? He wants to direct the administration in California and the federal government to speed up environmental goals, pushing the green energy, the Green New Deal, or the New Green Deal, as AOC would call it. That's what this is about, the fires. I don't know how they're related, Bill.
I don't know how they are either. Like I said, the forestry says they're either set or accidentally caused 90% of the time. They say 10% of it is from lightning strikes. Okay? This one individual, this Camilla woman that set the fire, she set the fire and endangered the lives of people that were trying to get the power lines back up so people would have power. And, I mean, you know, if she did that, I mean, that's what she's accused of. And this whole thing is just ridiculous. And then you want to go on another step with Nancy Pelosi. Here's the kicker. She says hurricanes are related to climate change as well. Okay. Whoa, what a deal. Now, I want to tell you about this. The first hurricane was recorded in 1494. It was recorded by Christopher Columbus. Now, you going to tell me there was a pollution problem in 1494? Or does Gavin and his Aunt Nancy think Columbus sailed a diesel pirate boat? Do you reckon? I mean, you know, come on. Let's get real about this. I mean, God almighty. What are we going to do with people like that? You know, I wish for one minute, just, you know, till we could get all of this unrest done, all these fires out, we could get all the unrest in the street settled out, we could get everybody back like we was September 10th of 01. You know, I don't want us like we was September 12th. I want us back like we was September 10th. You know, September 12th, yeah, we rallied. We rallied because the tires had failed and America pulled together. You know, they laid aside any differences. But let's just go back to September 10th when we was in a civil society and people were peacefully protesting for what they needed. They wasn't coming out and saying, either we get what we want or we're going to burn it down. Okay? Now, I don't know if they're burning it down with the forest fires, but to me, there's a rat in the soup. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well,
don't you smell something off?
Well,
I mean, I'm hoping it's not.
What I smell is not what you want to smell. What my question is why? Let's go deep. Let's go deep down the rabbit hole. Why is this being allowed? How did it get to back in March 15th when California was shut down? By Governor Newsom, we had no idea. They say that what the human being is very adaptable. So what we would not even fathom and put up with yesterday, we're agreeing to today. Look at March 14th. Look at before California, the first state of the union to be shut down. Look at where we were just at that point, and look at what we're tolerating now. So I want to know why we're tolerating it, and why no, Bill, why does no one know? Even my family in the San Gabriel Valley acts like I'm a crackpot again, like I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm up all night watching this horror on live stream. I think I know something.
Exactly. I talked to a friend, God love him, he lives in Maine. And he's a good fellow. I love him to death. He's like a son to me, okay? But he lives on an island. And people on that island, I knew people when I lived there. I knew people on that island that were in their late 80s that had never, ever left that island for anything. I am seriously. They've never owned a car. You know, they never rode anywhere in a car off the island. And they, you know, great people. Don't get me wrong. But they were so out of touch with the world. And there's people in the woods up there like that that way. There's people in all states that are separated and not paying attention to what's going on. And they have no clue. And when I was talking to this young man the other day, you know, I started talking to him about what was going on. And he had no clue. He said, I don't know nothing about this. He said, I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the news. I don't this. I don't that. You know, that's scary. To me, that's scary. We need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be aware of what's going on. You know, but, I mean, all this going on in the streets, it raises that question. You ask why they're being, you know, looked at for this and why people think they've done this. Look what they're doing in our streets. They're going in our streets. They're setting the police bureau on fire in Portland. They're burning down precincts. You know, they're setting buildings on fire. They're destroying everything. And what do? I mean, it's like three-year-old children. You get a whole state full of three-year-old children. You just take one state and just pile it full of three-year-old children that are mad because they can't get a popsicle, okay? And watch them throw themselves down on the floor and kick and scratch and go at each other and go at anybody in their way because they want that popsicle. And that's what these activists are like. You know, grow up. It's time we start looking at what's going on in this world and saying, you know, well, yeah, maybe that could be caused by that. We need to look into it. We sure do. You know, if it is, fine. If it's not, fine. But if it is, they need to be held accountable. And these politicians, oh, God, these politicians, we need to get them on both sides of the aisle and put them out on the street in the front line in front of the police and let them see what it's like. We saw Rand Paul and his wife. We saw, you know, some other people that come out of the RNC convention. You know, they feared for their life. Well, what do they think their constituents are fearing every day and every night? You take Ted Wheeler.
Absolutely.
Ted Wheeler, they set his place on fire. What'd he do?
Oh,
he moved.
He moved out. He moved out and left all of those people with damaged, broken windows and terrified. And that's the whole
thing.
Their
businesses they worked for burnt down?
Yeah, well, you mentioned something very important here. You mentioned that when my husband and I went to Key West years ago, down the furthest you can go, down, the causeways. No one had been off the island. They were bragging how long it had been. But what I'm concerned about is that most of the 330 million people in this country are being fed, spoon-fed lies on all of the media, every single media station, and they don't know. Can you explain that? Why do they not know if they're informed?
Well, it's what you get from the mainstream media is what they want you to believe. There was a time we had journalists. I can remember Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite. You know, they would get on and say, this is what's happening today. Now, we're a commentary show, so we speak out, okay? We're a current event commentary show, and our opinions are our opinions. We're the host. We don't represent the organization. We don't represent anybody. We just make commentary, and we try to get the story out as straight as we can, okay? And, you know, because we don't claim to be professional journalists, but I tell you what I've seen out of professional journalism anymore is a joke. It's a joke.
What?
Either you're on the right side or you're on the left side. You don't, you know, you spin it this way, you spin it that way. Okay?
Do you remember?
Most of them are spinning on the left. Huh?
Right. Do you remember those shows, those movies that we used to watch as kids thinking it was entertainment? Those weird dystopian shows that, you know, Escape from New York? Everyone ought
right.
to take a trip into New York City right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was in New York when it wasn't going on. I wouldn't, you know, it's not safe any time in New York. Okay? It's not safe any time in New York. But at this point, you know, all the thieves have been let out of jail. All the murderers have been out of jail. A lot of them has come out and went right back in for murdering somebody else, you know, because they're going to get COVID. But you let somebody open a barbershop or a restaurant or a gym in New York City, they're going to put them in jail and they're going to hold them regardless of their health condition for the duration. They're not going to let them out because of COVID. We've seen that.
Oh, absolutely.
We've seen
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And you know, Bill, I don't know. Why are we putting, why is everyone, you know, I watch the protesters turn rioters. And doing these horrible things and intimidation and scaring everybody, almost like a mob group. But why are they being allowed? And they're like robots. Have you noticed? They just chant, and they're almost like non-persons that don't have a soul. They're walking around like they're conditioned. And I'm wondering if the country, these wonderful people that we call our neighbors. Are in the same state of a dreamlike state. I don't know, because that's what it looks like to me, that they're not aware that they're losing their freedoms. What did you tell me about Ben Franklin? What did he say about our country and our constitutional rights and our republic?
When Ben Franklin came out of the building, when they signed the Constitution of the United States, the people asked him, what kind of government have you given us? His reply was, quote, a republic if you can keep it. We can't keep a republic if we just accept what people are saying. We can't keep a republic if we just sit by and idly say, well, somebody else will take care of it. You know, we hear it all the time with our organization. Somebody needs to do something. Somebody needs to do something. And we say, hey, how about you? Step up with us. We're going out in the streets. We're trying to keep the peace. We're trying to help both sides. We protect both sides. We don't pick sides. You know, we get called racist and everything else because the majority of our people are white. But it's not by choice. It's by the people that want to join. If you've got a record, you know, for bad things, or if you try to join and you support all of this stuff going on, then we can't take you. We won't take you. Okay, we have a 70% turn away rate. We turn away 7 out of 10 people that try to join this organization, and it don't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow, or even blue like the Fugit family down here in the hills of Kentucky. It does not matter. It does not matter. You've got to be a good, solid citizen to come in with us. And when you come in with us, you better remain a good, solid citizen, because we're very strict. If one of our people would do something illegal at one of these places that we go to try to keep the peace, we will disarm that person. We will take that person right to the police and turn them in ourselves. We do not pick sides. If we go somewhere, let's say if we was in Louisville, okay? Now, we got a lot of Black Lives Matter and Antifa people really at us. We got into some situations, involving guns. We didn't have to use none, but, I mean, we had to be very careful. And while we were there, because we were white, we were zeroed in on. Because some of the people had long guns, which we needed, or we wouldn't have had them there, okay? We were automatically racist. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something about racism. Racism goes two ways. Because if the Ku Klux Klan had come down the street, the Nazis, the skinheads, or anybody else, and the Black Lives Matters and Antifa people were peaceful, and they started on them, we would have took care of the Ku Klux Klan. But as it was, they trapped in a bunch of people that was with that Viking guy that he left abandoned, and we went up and we got them out peacefully. We done it peacefully. But still, we got trapped in a parking lot after it was over with. They weren't happy with us because we got them out, okay? But when you look at me and automatically assume that I'm a white supremacist, then you're ignorant. I have black grandchildren. I have black in my family. I have brown in my family. I have yellow in my family. I have red in my family. You know, we're a mixed people, and we're not there to pick sides or do anything else, but to try to maintain the peace and protect the people, their property, and their lives. You would not believe the number of people come up to us and thanked us for being there. I mean, whew, Lord, they's offering us water, offering us food, offering us all kinds of things. And, they were thanking us. We get home, I get messages, oh, we're so grateful you guys were there. Okay? And what is it that you just look at a person and because they're white, you automatically assume that they're a racist? Now, when you do that, I don't care what color you are, you can be white yourself and do that, then you are the racist. And that's the problem. We have got these races running in our streets, black and white and brown and yellow, and they're turning around and they're pointing a finger at everybody else, and what they're doing is the very thing they're accusing you of. Now, I'm going to stop. We got a caller coming in that's been on hold for a while. I want to bring him on.
Okay.
Hello, caller 8983. You're on the air. Hello? He's hung up. Okay. We'll go back to where we was at.
I wanted to bring up that the Marcus of Queensbury rules that apply to boxing. And you know what I'm talking about because you're a guy and you're into sports. I like them. I like sports as well. Oh, well, I don't know anymore. I can't say that anymore with what's going on with bending the knee. I don't agree with it. That's just my personal opinion. But when we're talking about Queensbury rules, there are rules you can't hit below the belt. Now, I want to ask you, because I've been watching this for 90-plus, 100 days, and they are not fighting fair. They're going out there, the protester-turned-rioter, for the cause that they're angry about. Us counter-protesters or protesters that are going out and trying to peaceably assemble for whatever side we're on. So the people that are causing the mayhem and the terror and doing these heinous, egregious things, they are being let loose. So the Queensberry rules apply to us. And so we can't do what we need to do to protect ourselves or to fight back. We've got to keep the law in mind. We've got to do what's right, just like you said with the group. 7 out of 10 don't make it because we've got to stay in line and follow the laws of our land. Can you explain why there are two set of rules and who's allowing this?
Well, there's two set of rules. There's a set of rules for the left, and there's a set of rules for the right. The left has no rules. That's the rule. The right has every rule. Every rule of law applies to the left. But when to the right. But when you try to apply it to the left, then all of a sudden, oh no, that's racist. That's homophobic. That's misandrist. That's misogyny. That's this. That's that. You know. And we're gonna throw it out the book. You commit a crime, and you have an R beside your name on the voting poll. You can just about bet you're going to go to jail and stay. If you got a D, that means deport out of jail some right back into the population. And this has to stop, you know. I try not to get political on here, but, I mean, I'm getting to the point that, you know, and I want to say something. You know, all this has been going on, but it took until all this happened for Rand Paul, Republican. Now, I've been talking about Nancy and Gavin, but for Rand Paul to stand up and say, I want an investigation into where this money and stuff's coming from backing these people. It took him getting cornered in the street. It took his wife getting cornered in the street. Okay? Another person that was cornered in the street was Dan Bongino, and I got to give Dan credit because Dan stands up and he points this out. You know? And Dan, I mean, he was Secret Service, you know, and he was tickled to death because he had the police there, the federal police there to protect him, because if they hadn't, you know, he knows with that crowd of, you know, people that I think he said there's like 50 people following him back, harassing him for like 2 miles through the hotel room. They had to walk and the police escorted him. And, you know, he's a tough guy. He can handle himself. He's trained. He's well trained. But at the same time, like he said, you know, I could handle 4 or 5, but 50. You know, I'm glad I had him there. You know, I mean, you're talking about a trained person, but Rand Paul, I mean, you know, where's he been at when everybody else is getting mobbed and beat, you know, people that in front of the stores just trying to protect the stores. One lady was beat with a 2x4 and her husband was killed. Where was Rand Paul then asking, where's the money coming from backing this? Well, we all know where the money's coming from. It shouldn't take too much imagination to figure it out. I mean, God almighty, these people are crazy. And they've got funding, you know. They have food trucks that bring them food. They have trucks that bring them supplies, such as the Walsbury and all that stuff that they're using against us in the streets when we're trying to stand up with the police, protect the police, protect the community. We don't have that kind of funding. You know, if people would put that kind of money behind us, I mean, we would have a heck of an organization, and we could do a whole lot more than what we're doing right now, and we're doing. You know, we don't just deal with this thing. I mean, we deal with the disasters. That's what Billy Bob's doing up in Oregon right now. His team's up there because this is the disaster. They're up there getting people out, helping people get out, and helping make sure they're okay. You know, we do a lot of things. We work with, you know, we'll work with the police. We'll work with the National Guard. We'll work with any government agency that will work with us to help the people of this country. Lord, I mean, it just gets me that people don't get that. You know what I'm saying? When this is all over, I mean, we're going to have outreaches in the communities. We're going to be the last person you can come to when you can't get anything else, you know, from your food pantries and your food stamps and all that, and the end of the month's still not here. You'll be able to come to us, and we'll try to help you to the end of the month. I mean, that's exactly what we're setting up. We'll be able to supply you with things that people won't even give you. We'll be giving you hygiene products and toilet paper and laundry soap and all those things that you can't get, we plan on supplying. And, you know, and then to get out in the street and be called a racist, You know, we're not picking what color people get toilet paper. You know, thank God all the toilet paper is made white now instead of colors like it used to be when we was kids, or that would be an issue too, I guess. You know, they gave me blue toilet paper because they like me, or they gave me yellow toilet paper because they don't. I mean, come on.
No kidding. I don't know, Bill. I think that we've got a situation where, if something isn't done right away, I thought it was going to end a couple of months ago. Didn't you? Didn't you think that it was going to? Because people, I don't know if it's complacency. I think more of what it is the people that are out here law-abiding. I haven't had an unconfirmed report from several sources that they're getting paid by the hour. And unemployment. So if everybody's complacent, I don't think so. I think Americans that are hardworking and they love the Republic, they love our country, they have something to lose. And I wanted you to address that, because if someone has something to lose, then they sit back hoping things will get better rather than act and stop it at the risk of losing everything. And that's where I'm at. I'm willing to lose what I have left to save the future, save our country. And how many people are willing to do that? I know you are.
Well, I'll tell you, Debbie, I've cut down to one meal a day. I've cut down to one meal a day because I'm putting everything I got into this organization to make this organization run. I want to see this organization built up. I want to see people coming in. I want dedicated people coming in, people that's not afraid to step out in the street. If you're afraid to step out in the street, call me. I'll give you a clerical job. If you're unable to step out in the street, if you're handicapped, call me. I'll give you a clerical job. I'll give you something to do. But at the same time, I need people to step out in the street with me. I need people to step out in the street with every one of our organizers. I'm here for everybody. Everybody in the organization has my phone number all the time. Anytime they need something, all they got to do is call. You know that. And,
absolutely.
You know, we need people to get out of their shell. You know, you can sit on TV and sit and watch that television. You know, they call that an idiot box because idiots sit there and believe everything that come out of it. We're going to start bringing this to you every day. We're going to be talking about what's going on. I hope you come in tomorrow night and listen again to what we got to say. But we have to get people off their bottoms and out in the street, because they say, I'm afraid to go out there because I might lose everything. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't get out there right now and start making a difference, everything you have is lost. You won't have a job because your factory will be burnt down. You won't have a home because it will be burnt down. You won't have a life. You won't have a life. You'll be living in a cave somewhere if you're lucky enough to be in an area that has them. If not, you'll be sitting out under a tree in the rain. Now, it's time people wake up. It's time we get going. Well, and, you know, if people want to join us, I want them to call us, okay? What I want them to do is I want them to go on to our website. It is citizensagainstterrorism.org. That's citizensagainstterrorism.org. You can go on that website, find out what we're about. I've got a video on there where I'm talking about what's going on. This was made back in the 25th of July when we started. We've got 34 cities since the 25th of July. We've got unincorporated areas around the cities that's pulling into those cities to start building. When these people walk into the cities, they don't know if they're walking into us or not, and we're going to keep it that way because I'm the only person they see. I'm the only person they see, the only face they know, the only voice they really know that they can link to it. You know, that we go into these cities, we've got bounties on our head paid for by Antifa and BLM. We know that. They get upset because our license plates are pulled. They want to run our license plates. They have somebody either in law enforcement, the license bureau, or somewhere that's running plates for them, getting them the information, and they're showing up at Patriots' houses. So we cover our VIN numbers on our dashes, and we take our plates off, and the police know we're doing it. The police know we're doing it and why we're doing it. It's a safety measure.
Bill.
You know yourself.
Well,
I've had several death threats.
Yeah, no kidding. How about the fact that it doesn't just apply to us on the streets at a rally or a protest or a riot. It is everyone. You are a target. You are a target. I'm not trying to scare people, but they are grabbing us. Drive-by, wasn't there? I don't want to bring up issues or.
Lost one of our new organizers' son this past week. Just a few days ago, we lost one of our new organizers' son, and I'm so sorry about that. It had nothing to do with the organization. They drove by and shot him and killed him. And, you know, we're still waiting on the information on what exactly happened, the investigation and the autopsy. We don't want to go into that. And out of respect for the family, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, just to say that our prayers are with them. But if you're sitting in a small town and you think you're safe, look what happened. Go on the internet, Stone Mountain, Georgia, July 4th. See what happened when the NFAC come in. Thousands of people come in there carrying guns, a black militia demanding reparations, walking up to people in their cars at gunpoint, demanding they pay them reparations. The police wasn't even there. And then the next time they went down there, NFAC wouldn't go, but when they went down there and Antifa and Black Lives started attacking the Patriot people that was there and the Patriot people started fighting back, that's when the police decided to step in and break it. Every time that the Patriots take a stand, the police decide to come in and stop it. And I'm sick of this. If you think you're living in a small town, you think everything's rosy and peachy, you just keep on dreaming, because sooner or later it's going to hit you. And if you're not organized, if you've not come in with us or some other organization that's doing the right thing, then you're in trouble. Again, I'm going to close the show out here, Debbie, in a minute. But if you want to contact us, find more out about our organization, go to citizensagainstterrorism.org, citizensagainstterrorism.org. You'll find at the top of the page, if you go through it, at the top of the page, there's a Facebook rally point. It'll take you to a Facebook page. At that point, you can hit the join button. You will go into a queue. You will be screened. And if we find that you're acceptable, you will get a message telling you that you've been accepted and give you directions on how you can join the actual organization. That is just for the page. You've got to follow the directions to join the organization and be part of us. And I hope that you will. I just want to say that, you know, September 11th, 2001 was a horrible terrorist attack on our nation, and we're going through one right now. And I just want to close this segment out with this song, and I hope everybody will enjoy it and think about what it felt like when we heard this song the first time.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that somewhere in the back, soon as we can see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey,
any music played on the show.
Justice will be served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage.
You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. We'll put a food in your ass.